This is The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Peptides have become one of the hottest topics in health and longevity. Supporters say they can speed recovery, heal tendons, reduce inflammation, and even slow aging. Critics point out that many of the claims are running ahead of the science. So what's real, what's hype, and what should consumers know? Today on The Mountain Life, I'm joined by Dr. Angela Peterson. She's the founder of Amplified Regenerative Health in Draper, and she's the author of the book, The Wellness Glitch. She'll help us understand the science behind the peptides, regenerative medicine, and other emerging therapies, and where the evidence stands today. Angela Peterson, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Lynn. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you. I've been long wanting to have a conversation about peptides because everyone is talking about it. But let's start with your background. You have a doctorate in nursing. Is that correct? Correct. And it's a nurse practitioner with a PhD?
Doctorate of nursing practice, correct.
Okay, great. And you're the founder of Amplified Regenerative Health. So we know what the word regenerative means, but how do you define it in the context of what you do in your practice?
Really, I mean, at its core is, you know, trusting ourselves, trusting our bodies to really heal ourselves, given the right tools. And that's what's really cool about peptides, is that we can turn on cellular activity. So, you know, peptides are not new. Like, they've been around since the early 1900s, you know, with the discovery of insulin. Unfortunately, we've got, you know, our healthcare system makes more money keeping people sick. We're now at a point in really humanity where we're kind of all like we've lost trust in every major institution, and especially our healthcare system. And people want to take back that agency to feel better, look better, do better. And that's really where peptides kind of have really taken off. We're finding ways to treat ourselves that don't require a prescription, pill, surgery, so forth. We're really getting to the crux of the problem and getting to the root cause of like what's wrong. And that's what I really love, is that we can regenerate ourselves. We can make ourselves better without having to have a major surgery, without having to get on prescription medication for life. And, you know, that's the part that's really exciting about peptide therapy and regenerative medicine.
Before we take a deep dive into peptides and regenerative medicine, I wanted to go back to something you just said, which is that somewhere along the way, you learned as a healthcare professional that you felt, you know, and many people say this, that we are kept sick because it's a money-making machine. That's a pretty skeptical way of looking at things. And I feel like in the last 10 or even 20 years, there's been more of a coming together about preventative versus, you know, reactive medicine. Do you feel that yet? I mean, obviously you feel that in your practice because that's what you do.
I mean, I think it depends. So, you know, people are more educated than we ever have been. And we have information, you know, at our fingertips, which is also really cool because you can like do your own research. And AI has a lot to do with that. And when used appropriately, I think it can be great for consumers, for patients, you know, to be really prepared for the conversation about their health, what they want to do. I do believe that, you know, because I see this all the time, that I'll spend hours with, you know, a client really unraveling years and years and years of mismanagement. And, you know, I'll ask them what, you know, medications are you on? And, you know, I'll have clients in their, you know, early 40s, 50s that are on multiple medications. They don't really even know why. And they're like, well, my doctor told me I need to take this. I'm like, well, okay, why? Like, do you, like, is there a problem? And most people are not, they're just kind of are trapped into this fear system that if they don't take this pill, they're going to have a heart attack. Or if they don't take this pill, you know, their pain's going to come back. And I just kept seeing this on repeat. And, you know, being able to get to the root cause of what's going on is actually not that hard. And you just have to like peel back those layers. And a lot of it comes down to just inflammation. So if we can like fix inflammation with, you know, peptide therapy, you can dramatically turn around somebody's health in in a short period of time. And all of those metabolic markers, all those inflammatory markers come down and they can get off prescription medications. So it's like, it's not a popular view, you know, in the big pharma, you know, Medicare world that we live in, but it is like fundamentally possible to reverse signs of aging, reverse signs of inflammation, reverse, you know, your risk for pretty much all, you know, chronic illness by regulating your inflammation.
Right. Is there an easy way to test your inflammation levels, inflammation markers?
Sure.
I mean, what does it require?
It requires a blood draw. So, you know, the things that I look at that are just very easy off the top are your A1C, which is a 3-month average of what your blood sugar is. And then your cardiac, there's a CRP that will test your, you know, basic inflammatory cardiac risk. And those two together, and especially your fasting insulin, those markers are very easy to tell if you're in a hyperinflammatory state. And then there's also another metabolic marker, your homocysteine, which tells like how you're metabolizing nutrients. And if you have like some methylation issues, which, you know, 50% of our population does, and just figuring out like those simple things and being able to correct them with, you know, regulating blood sugar is actually not that like hard. And those are, you know, very, very simple, cheap blood tests that give a lot of information.
Yeah. I talked to a healthcare professional last week. She was saying her favorite device is the continuous glucose monitor. And because of this, you know, kind of tuning into our inflammation in our bodies. And that's an easy one that we can do ourselves. And it's
cheap. You know, it's not hard. Like it's also like not rocket science. If you eat a lot of sugar, your, you know, blood sugar is going to spike. So, but it's a good reminder. It's like, oh, I probably shouldn't do that because my, you know, blood sugar levels are going to go through the roof and then I'm going to crash, you know, a couple hours later. So like all of these things are available and it's just like, you know, it's just not that hard if you really are in tune to your body and like how your body responds. And, you know, and the other thing that's really important too is hormone, looking at your hormones. And so, you know, I look at the metabolic markers for inflammation, and then I also look at hormones. And those two things are kind of the foundational aspect of longevity and health, is making sure your hormones are in regulation. Because, like, quite honestly, we weren't supposed to live this long. And as we age, especially like, you know, perimenopause, menopause for women, and the same thing happens for men, you know, their testosterone starts to decline. And we need to like replace that. And so those foundational elements are really important before you even consider, you know, peptides, which is obviously what we're talking about. But those elements have to be solid to turn on, you know, cellular activity to get your body to do the things that you want it to do.
Peptides, you hear about them all over. I have been hearing people talk about how BPC-157 has cured their rotator cuff. It's made their meniscus that's been nagging, you know, feel so much better. I've also heard healthcare professionals who I respect say, yes, 100% peptides, and there are some caveats. So let's talk about why you feel like for your patients, peptides are the answer, and which ones are the most popular.
Well, it's a great question. I mean, it kind of depends on what's going on. You know, like I said, with foundational elements have to be solid, and then we can start layering in peptides. But the one exception to that is the BPC-157, which is actually so cool. And it does more than just like repair tissue. It actually fixes a lot of gut issues because it's really derived from gastric juices. Most Americans, you know, our gut health is just horrible with the use of NSAIDs and antibiotics. Our gut health really needs to be, you got to lock in that, no doubt. So that helps to like reestablish your gut microbiome, which is essential. But it also, BPC, it's called the body protective compound for a reason. So it definitely encourages healing, repair, better oxygenation. And there's some anecdotal evidence, you know, a lot of this is just very emerging science, but you know, if people say like, well, yeah, my shoulder feels better, my knee doesn't hurt, and they're avoiding these really complicated surgeries, that's amazing. And that's, I can't say it's true for everybody. I think it depends on the severity of the injury, but there's studies that show, you know, mice getting their tendons severed, they're given localized BPC-157 and also TB-500, which is kind of a sister peptide to that. You know, they're seeing regenerative, regrowing and healing that injury in mice. And I mean, I just think that's incredible that we can give ourselves this peptide to really help our body heal itself. I mean, that's just like, it's amazing stuff. And, you know, avoiding surgery, avoiding infections, you know, I mean, how many people do you know have had their knees replaced, have to have their knees replaced again? They have to have, you know, a hip surgery, then they have to have the other hip surgery. Like, it's just this constant, like, stream of surgeries, setting yourself up for risk for infection, all of these things that aren't really working. And being able to use a peptide to heal yourself, I mean, we're at the forefront of, I think the possibilities are endless.
So a peptide is a building block of protein. It's just an amino acid. It's naturally occurring in the body. But is there something that happens in our bodies where we're not making enough? Or is it just that the addition of what we are already making and localized can help us?
Yeah, I mean, it's like we either don't have enough or it's the result of aging where it's just like part of the natural process of, you know, getting older, like our cellular function starts to decline. I mean, that's evident in everything. So we're turning on that mechanism. We're turning on that cellular activity that's like, oh yeah, we know how to do this. And it's a cell signaler. You know, this is not something that just someone developed or, you know, went to Mars and was like, oh, let's do this. This is something our bodies inherently have. We've just isolated them and we're learning how we can reignite that cellular activity. And, you know, it's like, you look at weight loss, for example, like some of the peptides, you know, Ozempic, Mounjaro, those are all peptides. And, you know, there are some people that can naturally maintain their weight. They have good metabolic regulation and they've just always been naturally thin or fit. But then there's other people that don't, that can't do that. You know, they try everything, but they're still like, they carry excess weight, they get frustrated. And it really comes down to like the molecular issues. Like, well, we don't have this GLP-1 factor in our body that tells us, you know, hey, stop eating, regulate your metabolism, you know, regulate your insulin response. And then it also tells your brain like, okay, you know, we're good. Like you've had enough. There are some people that can do that great. And then there are just others that can't. And I really think it comes down to, you know, how much of this peptide do you make naturally versus, you know, someone that does not.
It's really interesting. The GLP-1 drugs, peptides, they have had years and years of clinical research, lots of testing among humans. What for you, you know, if you read about some of the other peptides, even like the BPC-157 that we've already talked about, you'll find that there's been all kinds of animal research, not so much human research, and not FDA approved. For you, is that a caveat or is it that we're just not there yet and that this is something we should be doing and, you know, the FDA will catch up?
Well, and that's, you know, that's the fine balance. So obviously I can't do anything to cause harm to anybody and it has to be within my scope of practice and regulations and all that stuff. And that's where we're getting into this like gray area and where, you know, the safety concerns are really paramount right now because they're, you know, you can buy them online. There's no regulation. You don't exactly know what you're getting, but people are wanting the product and they're wanting to do these things. And so they're, you know, looking outside of the traditional medical model for answers. And they don't want to be left out in the cold when everybody else is doing it. And, you know, this is like the problem with my practice, especially too, like, you know, I'll spend hours with people like helping them figure this out, you know, telling them what to do, but then they get all the information and then they go online and to Peptide Supply Co. and get whatever it is they want. So that's the part that's really tricky. And so I, you know, there's different ways of doing peptide therapy. that are safe, legal, and, you know, authorized, I guess. But, you know, the FDA is having a huge meeting at the end of this month. And so we'll get a lot of information from that meeting, whether they're going to be regulated or whether they're not. And I honestly don't know what's going to happen because the cat's kind of been let out of the bag. And if there isn't regulation, then I think the kind of the dark gray market is going to, it's not going to go away. But there's actually like a company in Draper in Utah that is doing peptides in a very safe, effective way. And I don't mean to promote anything or sell anything, but I'm just saying that there's other ways we can legally do peptide therapy that gets around some FDA stuff. And then you don't have to utilize like the gray market. That to me is awesome, because companies are getting smart where we're like, okay, well, this exists. How can we provide this to consumers in a way that's safe, effective, and within legal parameters? So those things do exist, but the gray market, you know, I mean, there's people making peptides in their garage and selling them. And, you know, it gets a little like, well, I don't think that that's a great thing to do. And then I also, you know, the math gets tricky. So if you didn't pass like high school algebra, you're going to have a real hard time figuring out micrograms to milligrams to units to, because I'll be like, well, what are you taking? They'll be like, oh, 15. I'm like, well, 15 what? Like, well, it says 15 on the syringe. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Like, you've got to know what the concentration is. And so figuring out, like, you got to figure out what X is. That's really hard for a lot of people. But, you know, that's where the dosing, the reactions can occur. You know, just, you got to be really careful.
If you're just joining me on The Mountain Life, I'm having a conversation with Dr. Angela Peterson. She's the founder of Amplified Regenerative Health in Draper, Utah, in the Salt Lake Valley, and the author of a book called The Wellness Glitch. This is so interesting, Angela. I'll tell you my story as a maybe a cautionary tale, but maybe it's not a cautionary tale. I don't know. I knew this person who was an athletic trainer and had a little side hustle. Their spouse is a nurse, and they said, peptides, it's the thing to do. And they knew my knee was kind of bugging me, nothing diagnosed, nothing, you know, really torn, but wow, this is going to be great. The vial of peptide that I ordered from this person is still in my refrigerator because I looked at the label. You know, it was one of like those generic labels that just says BPC 157. And there was something about that that sent up a red flag for me. So, and it could be just fine. It could be absolutely fine. But who do you feel is qualified to administer peptides?
Well, I mean, you don't know where that came from. You don't know what's in it. And a lot of those vials will say very clearly on the label, not for human use, research use only. So it's RUO. So a lot of these peptides are research use only. I mean, some of them are fine. There's some companies that are doing this ethically, but you know, for someone like you that doesn't know, like, well, what do I put in this? How do I administer this? So you really have to talk to someone like myself, who's trained in medication administration, say, well, okay, this is how you reconstitute it. This is the recommended dosing. You do it 5 out of 7 days. You know, you can inject it in the knee or you can inject it, you know, in subcutaneous tissue. Like, people just don't know. And so, you know, I've heard horror stories where people are injecting the entire vial at one time and then getting, you know, having kind of a reaction, not so much with the BPC, but the growth hormone peptides that increase your pituitary gland to produce more growth hormone can definitely have a major histamine reaction if not done appropriately. And that can also cause anaphylaxis. So there's definitely some caution to this. That's why it's like, I really try to advise people, like, talk to somebody who knows what they're doing, because if you don't, and I do this all the time, I'm like, well, this is basic math. If you can't figure out what X is, like, let's go back to like basic algebra here. And you've really got to know what you're doing, how you're doing it, and where it came from.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely why I love these like oral dissolving peptides. There's no dosing. They're super safe and you don't have any needles. So there's no risk of infection. And I mean, there's people that are in the emergency room with cellulitis because they don't understand that you have to wipe your skin with alcohol before you inject. And, you know, they're getting, you know, an infection. So it's definitely happening. And I just have some like, use your head, like, you know, don't make decisions on your own. And the information is out there. You know, like I said, everybody can digest that information, but you really got to know what you're doing.
Localized administration of peptides. Okay, so say it's a knee and you inject into the knee. Is it going to help your shoulder that also is bugging you?
Well, or... so, and that's like a great question, you know, because like the way I understand peptides to work is that, you know, you're turning on cellular activity. So that's like, you know, systemic. But then there is a lot of anecdotal evidence that people say, well, if I inject it close to the source, it works better. Like, we don't really know, but we do know that injecting, you know, a severed tendon in a mouse is definitely going to work. We've seen that research, but we haven't done that on any human trials yet. So it's still very new. It's still very fresh. And I mean, if it works, it works. It's great. But like, it's kind of more of an objective assessment. We don't have objective data to that. It's a little bit more of an observation.
Yes. Well, we've talked about GLP-1 drugs a bit as peptides. We've talked about BPC-157. You mentioned the other one, something 500.
TB-500.
TB-500.
Yeah, it works really well with BPC. They're very complementary to each other to increase healing, increase circulation, you know, improve oxygenation.
And what are the other peptides that people are finding, you know, really work for them for one thing or another?
My favorite right now is the GHK-CU. It's a copper peptide. It is amazing for collagen production, especially in your joints, in your skin. And I think this is going to turn the aesthetics industry on its head because we're, you know, really healing. We're really improving, you know, skin outward appearance from the inside out. And, you know, with consistent use, this is the other thing too with peptides is Americans are so impatient. Nothing works like overnight with peptides. You have to really commit to it, commit to how they work and the process. And so a lot of people give up because they're like, you know, I didn't see any results after 30 days. Well, that's not how it inherently works. Like, you definitely need to commit to it. You know, a lot of people get discouraged right off the bat. They don't want to invest the money, you know, and they're just like, you know, I'll just do the quick fix. But I know for myself personally, I became a nurse practitioner to kind of get into the aesthetics world because like, oh, I've been a consumer on the end, you know, the end user part of it for a long time. I was like, well, I want to do this because, wow, this is great. And I really didn't enjoy it because I like to take care of people. And using the GHK consistently, you don't really need Botox, you know, but it's not overnight, right? Like, you gotta commit to it. I've been doing it for about 8 months and I don't mind a little facial movement, but I don't have those wrinkles. And, you know, I'm gonna be 50 this year. And it's just like, it's crazy how well this works.
Wow. Well, yeah, the Botox industry is a big one. And I can imagine the threats to the Botox industry.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was just at a trade show in Las Vegas and the frenzy over the peptides was unreal. And I kind of walked around the show floor a little bit and every exhibitor that had some sort of device, like nobody was there. All the attention was on the peptides. And you could just see this changing in real time where, you know, we're not going to invest in these devices. We're not going to invest in these expensive treatments anymore because we know how to fix our skin. And it's a really easy fix if you commit to it.
Well, that's a popular thing in high altitude, sunny, dry Utah, where we all have many more wrinkles than we ought to have at our age.
Correct.
Well, Dr. Angela Peterson, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. We'll have to invite you back on the show.
Oh, I would love to. I mean, there's so much we could talk about.
So much.
On and on for hours about this. And I love it. I love educating people. And really, we're just at such a cool point in medicine and in just humanity where we're like taking care of ourselves. And I think that's great.
Angela Peterson, founder of Amplified Regenerative Health and author of the book, The Wellness Glitch. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, no problem, Lynn. Thank you so much.